Hello, this is Simon Fischer-Becker at Adorim Moldova, and you're listening to Traveling the Vortex. And I have a question for you. The question that is hidden in plain sight. Doctor Who? Doctor Who? Doctor Who?
Traveling the Vortex.
Good evening, this is Sean from Traveling the Vortex, coming to you live once again from Gallifrey One Network 23 in beautiful Los Angeles, California. I don't know why I always say it that way, Los Angeles, California, because it is. I have with me here Mel, who is also beautiful. How are you today?
Fine, babe.
Aw. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about our day. It's still day one, although not for much longer. Actually, I just rolled over to midnight, and we've given up on the ghost downstairs. We're snuggled up in our room now, but wanted to kind of give you a kind of a general overview of what we did today. Mel, I've talked a lot on these. Why don't you? What was your favorite thing? What the absolute of all the things we did today? What was your number one?
Well, I told Sarah, I said, okay, we go into the dealer's room, and there's Dorian right there. And we heard him talk earlier on the panel, one of the panels talking, and hearing him laugh was just awesome. And then Sean and I kept thinking, okay, say it. Ask the question, say it. And no one asked, and he didn't say it. So we go in the dealer's room, and he's there, and I'm like, oh, God, this is just awesome. And we get a picture, him on a white background, as Dorian. I said, okay, I have to ask, can you say it? And he goes, I was wondering when someone was going to ask that.
He did. This was the Radio Free Scaro and their intro that they had him up there. And they weren't taking questions from the audience at this point. It was just them interviewing and recording their podcast live. And Dorian was one of their guests they had on the show. And he even mentioned, he said, I was wondering when somebody would ask. He said, I kind of set it up there. And he made a comment in the podcasting panel about the question. And nobody asked. And so he was so tickled, you might say he was tickled blue, when we asked him, would you say it for us? So we got that. And that's I'm going to call it, that's a Traveling the Vortex exclusive that we've got that recorded. And of course, you'll listen to it and go, ah, they recorded that off TV. But, you know,
no.
It's live, I tell you. It's live. And what's his name? Simon. We can't keep calling him Dorian. It's Simon Becker
Simon
Fisher?
Simon Fischer-Becker.
Fischer-Becker. Simon Fischer-Becker. Glorious man.
Awesome. He has got a very catching laugh, too. It's just deep, and it's so, it just, oh, man, I was tickled pink.
He was a lot of fun, and so that was cool. And what else did we do today?
Well, then after the dealer's room and meeting him, we heard or found out that William Russell was going to be, he was supposed to be in the dealer's room signing, but he had got pulled out of there to go be a part of another panel. So like, well, let's go catch him. So we got to listen to William Russell, and he's fascinating. And a young gentleman was there, and he just kept putting his foot in his mouth because he kept trying to ask William Russell, you know, and I understand what he was trying to say, but every time he asked it, it just came out the wrong way. He's like, so you look old, but I mean, you're young. And he just kept wording it the wrong way.
He kept trying to compliment him on his youthfulness, because William, this was the thing that really shocked me. I was really nervous going into the William Russell thing because Ian is one of my favorites. He is up there in favored nation status for companions. And seeing William Russell older, I was really kind of concerned about how he would come across.
Fragile,
yeah. And
he's not.
He's sharp.
He was standing up and not necessarily jumping, but he went from a sitting position and standing up and his hands raised up in the air and saying all kind. You know, he was just really
into
it.
He was very animated. And a lot of people would ask, you know, do you have any memories of working on Doctor Who?
he would reply, yes.
And then everybody would laugh, and he would sit there adamant that he'd answered the question. And I forget the guy's name, the comedian who was running the show, he says, I think they mean, you know, would you like to elaborate on any of your memories? And he goes, oh, yeah, sure. And then he would launch into it. And they kept telling him, you know, they kept telling the audience, don't ask any close-ended questions. And anytime somebody would inadvertently ask a yes or no, man, he took the opportunity to jump all over it. Yes. And he would stop. And it was hysterical. He was really a lot of fun.
So we go from him, which was awesome, you know. And then, okay, we got to go stand in line because it was Frog's Photos, I think is what
Froggy's Photos.
Froggy's Photos. Each of the actors had certain times that you could get your picture with them. Now, you could get your picture with them. Another adult could, an adult could say, so you could have two adults stand in the picture with Paul McGann and get your picture taken and pay an additional $10 and get a JPEG of that picture. So Sean and I agreed just to get our picture taken together with him to kind of help save on money and, you know, be awesome about it. So as soon as it was our turn, I dart over to the right side of Paul McGann and set the stuff down. And, I mean, they were, like, fishing us through, farming us through there quicker and, you know, quicker, lickety-split. But it was like, I told Sean, it's like, after he got done taking the picture, it was like, oh, God, I feel faint. It's like he has his hand on my shoulder.
Paul McGann is, first of all, the coolest guy. He was very gracious and kind. I shook his hand, you know, told him how much we appreciated him coming and that we enjoyed his work. And he was very gracious and thankful. And we spent all of, I don't know, 30 seconds with him. So, my memories were a little tainted, but, you know, I was cool about it. I had the giddy fanboy moment. And even though Mel will say differently out in the hallway, because I was keeping it in. But I was kind of I kind of melted a little bit. Mel didn't keep it in quite
so
much.
No, I didn't.
If she had been a Looney Tunes character, she would have been the one that melted into a puddle on the floor. And they would have had a spatula off the carpet.
Or that screaming one when he's blowing his whistle and just going off. That's me.
She was a little Looney Tune Daffy.
Oh, God.
But so we got to meet Paul McGann, got photos with Paul McGann. That was you had to pay a little extra for that, but totally worth it. That was definitely worthwhile. And then we kind of followed that up with
his commentary or his
well, the console.
Oh God, yeah, I forgot about that.
The actual restored TARDIS console, which it's gloriously beautiful.
And Sean has videos of it too. And the guy was demonstrating how much work and talking about how much work he went into restoring it. And the different things he did to make different objects work, like the clock. You know, the clock has three different clocks on it, one big one and then two little small ones on the side of it. How he made certain buttons on the console operate those clocks.
Where they would actually, it's an actual clock face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just that the clock works, it's that the clock spins both backwards and forwards depending on what direction in time you're traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And at a high speed, the dial just spins, and a lot of blinking lights and noises
and the sounds.
Oh, the thing is equipped with a sound chip from hell because it's got I don't know every noise from the movie, including the theme. Like when you boot the thing up, it plays the Eighth Doctor theme music from the opening credits, which was chills.
And then when he shuts it down, it just sounds like
and it does the groan and the door night. Open, the viewport, and I mean all the switches do some kind of twitchy thing, you know. But I don't know about you, but just looking at it, I got real chills with the wooden readout with the names
on it,
Gallifreyan error and that kind of stuff. Interestingly enough, it was not set for Earth.
Nope.
I don't know if you saw that. It was set for Califrax. And I don't know if they did that intentionally or if that just happened to be the dial that was rotated up, but I thought it was kind of a fun little shout-out to Douglas Adams, because that's the name of the planet in the Pirate Planet that we watched on Friday Night Who. So, but yeah, the console was just... Oh.
Okay, so we're sitting there, and we're talking to the guy, and we're drooling all over the console. Now, we couldn't actually get up and touch it. They had separate times where you can come back and get your picture taken in front with it. And the guy said that when it comes time to do that, the rope comes down and they have you stand where you can actually put your hand on the console and pose for it. And, you know, and he says, and you can play with certain buttons that won't break off after 100 people have touched them, he says. So, you know, you get to flip some of the switches and stuff. But we're standing there talking to the guy about the different buttons and stuff like that when a gentleman walks in and he's got these clothes that are in these bags. And he goes, has Paul McGann, you know, come through here? He goes, yeah, he came through here earlier to do a Q&A about the console. And he goes, you know, drats. And go ahead, tell him.
They unveil, he's got this bag and these boxes of stuff. Apparently, presumed lost and now found, the actual costume Paul McGann wore in Doctor Who the movie. His Eighth Doctor costume. And they had all of it. The pieces came out, and they brought in a mannequin, and they started dressing it. And there's the shirt and the vest,
the ruffles and everything,
the waistcoat and the tie, and it just seeing that here's the Eighth Doctor's outfit next to the Eighth Doctor's console, and we just saw the Eighth Doctor. I mean, it was just a complete experience. I'm still flummoxed.
And then it gets better than that. After we leave the console, we go back into the auditorium where we had listened to William Russell to hear Paul McGann's Q&A. And yeah, he was there with his son, too.
Jake, who was a lot of fun. They do a lot of Big Finish audios together, for those of you that don't know. I highly recommend them. Some very good ones. But yeah, it was a lively discussion. It was hosted by Nicholas Briggs and Barnaby Edwards. So a lot of it was Big Finish orientated. And lively discussion. So it was a very, very good panel. A lot of fun there. So, well, we don't want to get too long because this will take a little bit longer to upload. But that was kind of, in a nutshell, I think, the highlights of our day one. Is there anything you want to add?
All I got to say is that if you can find a way to come to one of the Gallifrey conventions, you need to do so. Because it is just phenomenal. It's very an exciting adventure and one I'll never forget.
Yeah. I know that the folks back home, and particularly Glenn and Keith, are listening to these, and we're very sorry that you guys aren't here, and Sarah and everybody back home, because we would have loved to have had just some company, somebody to share all of this with, and this is kind of as close as we can come to doing that. So hopefully you're enjoying these. We haven't bored you. We will be sending more of these out in various links as the weekend progresses. And once again, this is Sean.
I'm Mel.
And we're signing off from Gallifrey One in Los Angeles. Thank you and good night.